the pleasures and the desires. And I shared about a billionaire in the Middle East who was so concerned about how he is presented. And his name, by the way, and I just read this week, is Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal. And he is suing Forbes magazine because it said that he is only worth $20.5 billion, whereas he says he should be worth at least another $9.5 billion. So therefore, he is suing this magazine for libel for saying that he is poorer than he really is. As if people don't have other things to think about. That might qualify as somebody where the seed is choked out by the weeds, wouldn't you say? But regardless of the dollar figure, we are all tempted to that, aren't we? All tempted to that, to have the weeds choke out the good seed, choke out the fruit of the word that is planted in our hearts and minds. But I would like to draw your attention to a young man by the name of Aaron Yoon, born in London, Ontario. You probably have heard of him. He was raised a Catholic, Korean by extraction, Canadian by citizenship. But he had two friends in his high school, Ali and Christos, who participated in an attack on a gas plant in Algeria, I believe it was in April, where about 38 foreign workers were killed, and all but three of the attackers were killed, and these two fellows died when they blew themselves up. This young man, Aaron, knew these men because he went to high school with them. They traveled to Mauritania in West Africa together. And Aaron separated from them, but he went to study Islam and Arabic. He was arrested after being seen with a radical, a Muslim radical, and was sentenced to 2 years in jail in Mauritania. And the government there wants to add an additional 10 years to his sentence. No matter what our feelings about that, we remember, of course, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. But we pray for him, we pray for Muslims, we pray for people, and ask that God's grace would rest upon them. But Aaron Yoon and his friend Christos converted to Islam in high school. When he was asked, "Why do you want to convert to Islam?" he replied, "I want a greater sense of community." And to me, that was telling. He wanted a greater sense of community to belong to. He wanted a greater sense of belonging. And that, when I heard that, stuck in my mind. Because if I were a family or his church and even community, I would take that as a rebuke. But in the church, in general, I take that as a challenge because we are the body of Christ. Challenges are before us in this day and age. The late Margaret Thatcher said, "There is no society, there are only individuals." And I disagree with her profoundly. What about family? What about community? What about the body of Christ? Jesus said in John 15:17, "Love one another." And he was speaking to the disciples about loving one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul said to the Corinthians, "The body is a unit." Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, said, "You are being built into a spiritual house, joined together." And Jesus said, as we've said, "Love one another." Love one another. Care for one another. And there are obstacles about that. We can be too busy. In this day and age, that happens. And now that should just raise a flag. What sermon series have we just spent 3 weeks on? And what was one of the things that we read about? The pursuit of pleasure and the worries of wealth. Choke out the word. That sounds very much like being too busy. We sometimes think, you know, being too busy to read the word, to study and meditate upon it. And that is true. But Jesus said, "This is my commandment I give to you, love one another." And if we're too busy, we are choking out the word, aren't we? The connection is there. We can't just isolate what Jesus says. We can't just isolate the scripture, but we realize that it flows from one thing to another. If we're too busy, we are allowing the weeds to choke out the good seed that is sown in our life. Therefore, if we're too busy, and it's so important to we are busy, it is important to be busy. But when we're too busy to love one another, we need to be very careful lest we choke out the seed that Jesus has been planting in our life. Feelings. Sometimes we just don't feel like it, do we? We just feel busy, we feel tired, we feel perhaps, oh, somebody didn't treat me right at one point in our life. But we realize that God has given to us the power and the ability to control our feelings, to take charge of our feelings. We talk about the weather, don't we? What's the one of the first things that Jim said this morning? And I'm not telling off Jim. But Jim said, "It's a glorious day." And it is a glorious day. And we talk about the weather. And sometimes our feelings are dependent upon the weather, but they change like the weather, don't they? And God gives to us the grace. He gives us a will. He gives us the ability to choose so often. And I remember only once in my life that I can recall have my feelings really been influenced by the weather. When I was a student in Oregon, in seminary out there many, many years ago, I remember very clearly about the 1st of February, being on the West Coast. It was spring jacket weather for Canadians. It was wonderful. For those students from California, they were still wearing winter coats and toques and everything, and we were kind of having a good laugh at them. And then do you know what happened? The clouds moved in, as will happen on the West Coast, and the sun disappeared for 6 weeks. And I know I felt very much like I had cabin fever. So I am very proudly an Easterner, where the sun shines. We talk about weather, and our feelings change like the weather, and they are so often based on circumstances, based upon how we feel. But God has given to us the grace, the will, the strength to take charge of our feelings and the responsibility to deal with our feelings, that we live according to the word and according to principles, so that when we're feeling, oh, I don't know if I want to do that or can do that or anything like that or not forgive somebody, then we can say, "No, Lord, I can choose to do something about this. I don't have to be hostage to my feelings so often." And God gives his grace, whether it be hurt or whatever it might happen to be. And then the next paragraph that I said, it was, I put how to love, and I was feeling like, boy, that's kind of silly. Don't we know how to do that already? I would say this church is pretty good at that. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty or anything of the sort. But when we read the word, we want to just be reminded of the word. We want to be reminded of God's will. We want to continue on in the good way, and we want to go deeper. 178 mosquito nets were bought by this church in order to make a difference in the lives of people in the developing world. That sounds like love, doesn't it? Amen. When we walk into the church, boy, there's an awful lot of hugs going on around here, aren't there?
And it feels good.
And it feels good. That's the next point. You're with me. Praise God. It feels good to come to a church where you are loved. It feels good to do it. A number of years ago, there were some people that I know that I chatted with, and they belong to an organization that I don't feel comfortable with. And I wanted to ask them, which organization, really, when it comes down to brass tacks, which organization do you really feel like you would like to attend more? Church or this organization? If the answer is the organization, then it may be that in their church there needs to be a whole lot more loving going on, as we hear about being sung. Because when we are in a place where we are loved, where we are safe, where we are encouraged, we want to worship the Lord together, we want to support one another and strengthen one another, we want to just go on with the Lord. And it's fun to come to church, to be with people who love the Lord as well. We attended a church for a number of years, and I belonged to a men's group. The church was quite large, but it was at a difficult time in our life. But I really, really enjoyed going to this men's group, because there were a number of other men that were going through the same challenges that I was at the time. Because we were together in this, and because we love the Lord, I looked forward to going to spending time with them. We laughed together, we prayed together, we razzed one another endlessly, but it was a good time. How do we love? We do one thing at a time. One thing at a time. Whether it be a hug or a prayer, a pie, a meal, a question of concern, whatever it might happen to be. One thing at a time. I want to close this sermon, and we'll be closing the service in just a few minutes, I want to give a word that I feel the Lord would have me to share with you this morning. And it's simply this: I believe in my heart that the future for this church is bright. Yesterday, I was here in Bracebridge, and I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And I was feeling, well, what can I do? It's just me. And then as I was praying and thinking about that, I felt like it's not about me and it's not about you, but it is about our trust in the Lord working through us. Some people would say, you're an old church. I don't care. But when we pray in faith, we prayed for Gary yesterday and the word was sown. We prayed for Lloyd and Sandra's great-grandson. God answered prayer. We love one another. And we're not going to stop, are we?
No.
It's not because of me, it's not because of you, but it's God flowing through us. So let us love one another. And people will see and say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of this. That we will see answers to prayer. We will see lives changed. We will see people healed. We will see people come to Jesus. Don't write us off yet, because God loves us, and we are in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship the Lord.